Blog Talk Radio.
Our society is finally embracing the differences we have in self-identifying based on race, gender, national origin, and sexual orientation. We are coming to terms with our differences and hope it shapes our relationships, our fears, and our acceptance levels. My Son, My Daughter, My Child is a book that explores the societal acceptance of difference in a family. Author Amethyst Rose blazes a trail in the African-American community in light of her transgendered grandchild, Jason. It proves to be a compelling read and a heart-rending story about love, family values, and teenage self-identity. Jason also has Asperger syndrome and is a high-functioning autistic teenager. For those who need clarity on the differences between transgendered and transsexual, this show is for you. And those who want to feel the love between a grandmother, a mother, and her sons, this show is for you, too. Whatever your thoughts about sexual orientation, Amethyst Rose has created a book to guide us through the very personal journey of gender identity in the 21st century. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hello, my friends. This is Carol Copeland Thomas. Happy New Year to everyone. Well, we made it into 2015, and I certainly hope each and every one of you have had a wonderful holiday experience season with your family and friends. If it's been a difficult one because of your own personal circumstances, I hope that you worked it through day by day, and you're looking forward to a much better 2015. I'm excited that we're here today. Lots going on. We don't have a chance to really talk about what's taking place here in Massachusetts with the governor's inauguration. Governor Charles Baker, or Charlie Baker as he calls himself, and his running mate Karen Polito have now been installed. Their inauguration has been completed, and he is now giving his acceptance speech. I was a great fan of Governor Deval Patrick because I thought he did a very stable and able job for 8 years as our governor. He had difficulties, a huge recession that was looming throughout the entire country and really plummeted some states, but did not plummet Massachusetts because of the steady hand that he carried us through as our governor. Lots of good things, I think, that he left in his legacy as governor. And now there is a deficit, a pretty large deficit, that Governor Baker is going to have to handle. I am going to hold my breath, and hopefully things will work through under his leadership. He is a Republican. What concerns me is the allegiance, now that I find out that his running mate is a Tea Party Republican. So we will be talking about his leadership in the weeks to come. I certainly wish him the very best because he is the governor of all the people of Massachusetts. But I certainly hope that he will follow on a path of reason and modality in terms of level-headedness, making sure that he reaches out to everyone. He won by a very slim margin, so it was not a cakewalk for him. Beating Martha Coakley, she almost won, but she did not. He is our governor, so now he has to learn how to govern all of us. So do wish him the very, very best, and hopefully his leadership will move us into a positive new direction. Other governors across the country are now in office, including the newly elected female governor of Rhode Island, very first woman governor of Rhode Island. So there are inaugurations going on everywhere. And then we have our Republican-led Congress. Both houses of Congress are now controlled by the Republicans. So, again, I'm really holding my breath on that one to see what can they do. They certainly, as a Republican body, have been obstructionists to the highest degree and have kept lots of things from moving forward in Congress. Let's see if they do a better job now that they are in leadership. So, again, we'll be talking about Congress and government as we move forward, and certainly as we approach the 2016 presidential election, that will certainly be a topic of discussion here on Focus on Empowerment, along with others. We have our Black History Breakfast coming up on February 10th. I'm so excited about it, and in the coming weeks we will tell you more about it. Starting tomorrow, there will be information at both websites, msconnect.com, or tellcarole, tellcarole.com. You can find out about the Black History Breakfast, our very special guest, our special MC that will be there, and we will be talking about it very actively starting next week. I have a very interesting guest who I've known for quite some time, have a lot of respect for her and the work that she has done in human resources. She is writing now. She now has written a very compelling book called My Son, My Daughter, and My Child, and operates under a pseudonym. Her name is Amethyst Rose, so that's the name that she's using with her book. But we have a lot to talk with her about. And hopefully this will be an educational show, because there's some things that I'd like to learn just about the world of transgendered individuals, including her grandson. So I'm going to bring her back on right now and just talk more about this compelling book, how it was written, the reasons why, how she found time to write this book with such an active family that she's involved with. Amethyst Rose, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, you certainly have had, we were talking offline before the show started, you have 6 grandchildren, 98-year-old mother living with you, and my question to you was, when on earth did you have time to write this book?
You know, that was a good question. I don't know, I didn't think about it, I just did it.
It's women, get things done.
That's right.
So true.
That's right.
Amazing. Well, let's go right into this. I've been a diversity professional for a long time, 28 years now. And as I told my class yesterday that started, my cross-cultural class, cultural competency class, my new class that started, I said, I'm still learning. And when it comes to sexual orientation, gender identification, there are certainly some aspects of it that I know about, and then some aspects I am definitely learning more about. So you write a compelling book. It's it flows very well. I'm going to go back and read more portions of it, because I want to reread it so I can digest it with clarity. But you talk about Jason, your beautiful grandson, one of the grandchildren that you have. Tell us more about Jason.
Jason, born a male, okay, and when he was in about second or third grade, he was also diagnosed with Asperger's syndrome, because one of the things that Mama Camille and I noticed is that his obsession about certain things was a little bit different, and I also studied autism, you know, as I mentioned, in college.
Right.
But Asperger is an incredibly high-functioning individual, very smart. I mean, he could recite things, and he would know the license plates of his friends' parents' cars. It was amazing.
With that said, explain to us, you do a great job at the beginning of the book. Explain to us, what is Asperger's syndrome? And then explain what is, I know it is part of the Asperger's syndrome. So explain to us what Asperger's syndrome is first.
Okay, Asperger's syndrome is a type of autism, but they have a term where they say you have a little autism, because with autistic children, it is very different than those with Asperger's. But the thing with the Asperger is they don't identify well socially.
Okay.
They don't pick up if someone is upset or angry with them. They don't see that. And there are times when they would just say things totally out of context.
Uh-huh.
And not realize that, you know, and sometimes folks would wonder, well, why did he say that? What is he talking about?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and yet Jason, it was normal for him because that's just the way he was.
Mm-hmm.
And then with Asperger's also, they have problems with crowds.
They have problems with what? I'm sorry, with what?
Being
with
in
what
a crowd. Specified.
Oh,
being
wow.
in a crowd. Yes.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Yes.
So the social abilities have been marginalized and other areas are overcompensated, whereas the social skills have been minimized or are deficient and then overcompensated in some other areas.
Right. That's why with Asperger, it's so interesting, Carol, because you wouldn't necessarily know that Jason had it unless you're around him more often.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because sometimes, you know, when we have folks over, whatever, they're very, very social when someone
mm-hmm.
comes over. You just don't know. You just don't know until you actually get to see him more often or hear about
mm-hmm.
some of the other incidents that happen, you know. So it's not one of those things where it's immediately noticeable or discernible.
That's
it
cool.
isn't.
Right. Yeah. How? And so, again, this is a part of the autism family. Describe autism to us.
Autism, I'm going to do some real basic kind of thing. Autistic children are, for the most part, not even aware at times of their surroundings, noticeably to us. They don't like
okay.
to be touched. They don't like to be touched. There's no eye contact, very rarely.
Uh-huh.
And they're really in their own world.
Mm-hmm.
And interesting, I work with some of the children, and again, there are different gradients of this. You know, there's some children who are what we call extremely autistic, and there are others not
right.
as much. You know, that's why
right.
autism is sort of fascinating, because it runs the gamut, Carol, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, with autistic children, it's very difficult to reach them, and sometimes you don't.
So Asperger's syndrome is, correct me if I'm wrong, a mild
yes.
form of autism.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right. I've always tried to understand that. And now I'm connected with the May Institute here in the Boston area, and I've asked one of the psychologists who is on
mm-hmm.
staff, what is autism? And I was amazed that the answer was a range of answers. There was no definition in terms of this is autism. It was more of conditional circumstances that led to autism, which I find quite fascinating. So not
mm-hmm.
only is... Yeah. Not only is Jason has Asperger's syndrome, then he also is transgendered. And you talk so eloquently in your book about his birth and your daughter Camilla and the circumstances that you found where both were detected. When did you learn? How did you find out that Jason also was transgendered?
Well, it was part. I noticed it first, you know, because of my experience in, my work environment. I worked
mm-hmm.
and dealt with a lot of different kinds of, you know, situations and challenges, one of which were
right.
some folks who were transgender. And my children growing up, I've always talked to them about transgender, gay, and I wanted them to be educated also with this and the discrimination
mm-hmm.
that occurred. So I noticed with Jason, when he was even about 4 or 5 years old,
mm-hmm.
he liked to do more, and I'm putting this out in quotes, okay, girly kind of things, okay?
Okay,
In that, he didn't like to play with trucks and stuff, you know, the typical kind of stereotypical thing,
mm-hmm.
like dolls. I like to do hair. So, Camille got that for him at that time, at the head, you know, where you can do all kind of hairdos and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And Jason loved that. And then
mm-hmm.
Jason did like to dress up in a blouse and skirt and things like this. And in my book, there was one situation when Jason was at daycare after school.
Yes.
And I picked him up, and he was dressed in a really nice dress, you know, hat. And you could see in his face, he felt so much more comfortable and
mm-hmm.
very happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
so I was definitely.
Can you explain to us, Amethyst, about what is the definition of a transgendered person?
A transgender person is one born a particular gender, in Jason's case, you know, male, but identifies and feels the opposite gender.
Mm-hmm. And how is that different from someone who is transsexual? Because I know that you talk about in the book, and this is what I understand, that a transsexual person is
mm-hmm.
transgendered, but a transgendered person isn't necessarily transsexual.
Exactly. Transsexual,
okay.
The basic difference, there are others, but the basic difference, the transsexual have the surgery, okay? They will have
right.
the surgery. And transgender
so
don't.
Right, so the transsexual person actually then totally embraces surgically and physically the identification of the opposite sex versus
yes.
someone who is transgendered. Does a transgendered, and meaning your grandson Jason, does he identify both as male and female?
No, oh no, female only.
Female only, okay, okay.
Yes.
I'm doing this because, again, the terminology needs to be clarified so our audience
oh, sure.
can understand that. Right,
sure.
right.
Yeah,
so,
female.
So walk us through the life of Jason and most importantly, how you as a grandmother, your daughter Camilla, his mother, how you have come to terms with his gender identity.
Yeah, to some degree, it was somewhat difficult. You know, sometimes with parents, and not so much
yes.
with Camilla, I'm just sort of generous a little bit more. Sometimes parents feel that if their child is a gay or, you know, lesbian or transgender, there's something wrong that they did. You know,
mm-hmm.
the society is like, you know, there's something wrong that parents did or whatever. That's why your
mm-hmm.
child came out this way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I would have many talks with Camilla about this. Her thing
mm-hmm.
was not so much that Jason is transgender. The fear was how he would be treated.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I mean? And so,
yeah.
And as I said, you know, growing up, I talked to my kids all the time about challenges and differences and, you know, different phobias, you know, and so they were pretty well versed on what was going on and, you know, to treat people as people, you know?
Right.
So, as I said, Camille's main thing was her fear of Jason's happiness, safety,
mm-hmm.
things like that.
And I understand, I believe in the book, at one point he changed schools, switched schools, at the advice maybe of one of the educators in the previous school. Can you tell us about that experience?
Yes. At the first school, it was clear that, you know, there was challenges that Jason had, you know, definitely some femininity and things like this. And the principal was so incredibly ignorant.
mm-hmm. mm.
With this, I mean, and I'm putting it kindly, okay? Incredibly
right.
ignorant. And mm-hmm. also not very helpful with the fact that he has Asperger's syndrome. So you put the
mm-hmm.
two together, and Jason was
right.
very unhappy. Very unhappy.
Uh-huh.
And we
mm-hmm.
said, no, we're going to take him out because, first of all, you need to be happy when you're being educated. This is grammar school.
Right. Right.
You know?
Right.
So the basic foundation of, you know, moving on to high school and in college and whatever. And this is no way to start out.
Mm-hmm.
And we had several
mm-hmm.
discussions in my book where I was, and again, you know, I've tested children before with special ed,
right.
you know what I mean? So with some
right.
of the discussions, I just put it back to them saying, no, this is not going to happen, you know, and those kinds of things, which I know helped Camille because she didn't have that experience. But it was so hard and frustrating for her to some degree because, it's, you know, what do you do, you know?
Right.
So we took Jason out of that school. We took another school. It was better.
Ah, good, good. And what about Camilla, the mom? How has she embraced this is her reality? This is her family. She has another son. So what has been her role and the impact of her feelings about Jason, given the fact that he's a transgendered, now teenager, but child at that time?
Right. Camilla is very open to the fact that Jason is transgender. She, like I said, she's very supportive. You know, even up to the point where they used to go shopping, she would buy Jason, it's in my book too, Jason, some nice-looking blouses, you know, more feminine blouses, you know?
Working
with Jason to transition, but for him to understand certain things, for helping him to understand what's going on. Also to help Jason understand, because he's not good with socially, how some of the kids would treat him, and sometimes Jason wouldn't understand that part. And in the book, one thing I was very thankful, there's some girls at the second school where Jason went who were so supportive of Jason.
Great, great, great.
Camille became friends with two of the girls who were really helpful, and they became good friends.
Good.
The girl, Camille's mother, you know, so that kind of support also helped. But Mel's main thing is safety, making sure transition, making sure he's happy, and, you know, do well in school.
Right. And what about Jason's relationship with Khalil, his little brother?
Oh, yes. Jason's very protective of Khalil.
Uh-huh.
You know, loves his little brother. And there's a part in my book where, I mean, everyone got upset with this. They were on the school bus. Sometimes Jason would go on the school bus and sometimes they wouldn't. And but Khalil was on there, and some of the older kids were talking about, you know, where's that queer and all this kind of stuff.
Yes, uh-huh.
And he was very upset. He was sitting up front, and he was very upset because he was afraid in one degree, but he didn't want anybody talking about, you know, at that point his brother, you know what I'm saying, Jason like that. So, you know, he was afraid to say, you know, stop saying that because they were older kids. And when he went to school, he was crying. Camille got a call. Camille picked him up. And when we're at supper, you could see that Camille was very quiet. So Jason said, what's wrong? So he started crying again. I mean, it was just so hard for him because, you know, you don't want your kids to go through that kind of thing, you know?
Of course, yes, of course.
And Jason, when he told her, Jason went with Khalil the next morning, got on the bus, and took them off. Just leave my brother alone. You know, kind of like unicorn, you know, so that was helpful. But I wanted to stress in the book how, it, you know, the total family is affected.
Yes, yes. And you mentioned early on in the book, you introduced John, who is Camille's boyfriend, and he is Jason's dad. How does that relationship progress throughout the book?
It didn't, really, that much. They broke up a while soon after Jason was born. It didn't.
Right.
It just didn't work out, you know? That was even before we were, you know, noticing more about Jason, but that relationship just didn't work, you know. So
I see. Yeah. So again, I'm mentioning that because the responsibility has largely been on Camille's shoulders in terms of raising her sons and adjusting and adapting to the gender identification of her older son. So fast forward and tell us now about Jason. What is he doing now? And tell us about the forthcoming book that you are working on despite your busy schedule.
Actually, I already started it. I know. What can I say? Jason, in the book, Miracle. Changed the name to Miracle.
Uh-huh.
And, went to high school. I'm going to tell you sort of the overall, you know, obviously some of the details, but Miracle's done incredible. Went to high school, did quite well, and opened the door for so many other transgender folks in the high
yeah.
school.
Yeah. Mm. Yes.
And,
yeah.
She was a speaker every year for them.
Mm-hmm.
She received notes and letters thanking her.
Mm-hmm.
She even went to one of the deans because there's a whole issue, you know, with the restrooms. Okay.
Right. And I know about that, having worked in, I did training years ago, almost 20 years ago now, in a very small town in Ohio. And, you know, thinking they don't have any sexual orientation issues here. Oh, yes, they did, because they had transsexual employees who had to negotiate with HR and with the legal department about which bathroom to use, which restroom to use. So I've had firsthand knowledge in terms of restroom issues and how that can be quite sensitive. Yes.
Oh, and exactly. A couple of the companies where I worked, those head of HR, I told them they had no choice but to have a couple of the unisex bathrooms. I told them that.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but you can't. You know, why not? But then what Miracle did, Miracle went to one of the deans and said that I need a key. See, there were keys. There were unisex bathrooms, but there were keys.
Right,
and
right.
She says, no, I want a key. She says, I want a key to use the bathroom. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And,
forthright. Very, very forthright.
We didn't know that she was going to do this. She had talked about the problem, like, you know, there was one unisex, almost like the fourth floor, and, you know, this kind of stuff. But anyway, she came home one day and said, I did it. And I said, we're both sitting there saying, what did you do? You know, I
probably
mean,
with a lot of fear and trepidation.
And Carol says, I did it. I said, okay.
What now?
You know, we're both sitting there like, what? she got a key for the bathroom on the second floor, so she had to keep going up to the floor.
Major victory.
Oh,
major
absolutely.
Victory. Yes.
But if you
know,
we're saying, okay. yeah, it was kind of scary for a moment, to be honest with you.
Right. Clearly, it's been the support that you have demonstrated with your professional skills, clearly, that you passed on to your daughter, and this loving support that has carried your grandchild forward, name transition as well, and just this gender identification that now she continues to pursue. Very quickly, the book can be purchased at Amazon.com. Give us any, do you have any other contact information you'd like to share with our audience?
Well, the major thing, I would obviously love for them to purchase the book, and Amazon.com is the best site to purchase the book.
Great.
Great.
And again, the book is My Son, My Daughter, My Child by Amethyst Rose, just like the color, amethyst and the word rose. This is a name that this wonderful professional who I know is writing under. And we just thank you so much for sharing a lot of insight. And I think anybody will learn an awful lot by reading this book. Again, you can purchase it from Amazon.com. We wish you the very best in 2015, and as you continue to write at night with your second book, the sequel to this book. Amethyst, thank you so much for being a guest on my program.
Thank you.
All right, take care. Bold and courageous, I think, and again, by miracle realizing that there are other young people in her school now that she can identify with, can help to advocate for. This is just a wonderful book to read and to learn more about not only the terminology, but most importantly, how it impacts this family as it is impacting other families across the society that we live in here in the United States and beyond. I am learning more and more about transgendered individuals. I know a couple, so I'm not just looking at this particular individual, but it's something that we need to learn more about, embrace, because they are our family members, they're our daughters, our sons, our cousins, our aunts, our uncles, and ones who really deserve a lot of support and respect. So I do thank Amethyst for writing this book, and I look forward to talking with you all in 2 weeks. No, next week. I will be on the air next week. I have some traveling coming up, but I will be on the air next week. Take care. We will see you then. Signing off.